Vulcan Shield by Nick Kyle. Read by Gareth Armstrong, Martin Ellis, and Jonathan Keeble. A dull explosion resonated through the hull of Fire Wyvern. The Thunderhawk gunship bucked against the resulting pressure wave, throwing up emergency icons inside the troop hold. Display shrapnel caromed off its armor in a burst of muffled blinks.
Another like that, and we'll be going the rest of the way on foot, if at all.
Kotak and I smiled. His burning eyes flared with amusement in the gloom, limning his onyx-black skin in a visceral red.
Their aim is worse than yours, Fugis. It's nothing.
Apothecary Fugis scowled at his captain, his thin face drawn so tightly it was almost sharp.
It's a needless risk.
Kadai had stopped listening. His gaze travelled down the troop hold, along the grav harnesses, where the rest of his warriors were locked in. Armoured in green battleplate, the snarling orange drake icon of the third company upon their left pauldrons. They were salamanders, the Fireborn. Like their captain, the eyes of his retinue glowed red behind their helmet lenses. The effect was almost infernal. Despite the restrictive confines of the Fire Wyvern, they still managed to perform their pre-battle rituals. Enkeln led them. It was his duty.
In Vulcan's image are we crafted. Our bodies are his immutable instruments.
Kadai watched the veteran sergeant reach into a fiery brazier wrought into a support column and withdraw a fistful of burning coals. The others echoed him, Vekshen and Shenkar. Together they crushed the coals into dust and used the hot soot to anoint their armor.
What is that?
Remarked another warrior in the hold. This one was not a salamander. He wore the black ceramite of the Raven Guard. His left pauldron carried his chapter's icon, a white raven with outstretched wings. Where salamanders were onyx black, the Raven Guard was stark white, with eyes like tiny shards of jet. Together, they were a contrast in chiaroscuro. Vekshen had scribed the effigy of a dragon's head upon his forearm.
Ungala, the great drake whose mantle I wear, slain in ritual combat.
The company champion touched the scaled cloak draped over his back and carefully fashioned around his power armor's generator.
I carry this sigil to honor him and grant me fortitude in battle.
Yours is a savage culture, Nocturnian.
The remark was directed at Kadai, who turned to face the speaker.
The Promethean Creed is not for everyone, Adrak.
The Raven Guard stared through the dark lenses of his white battle helm. The bulky jump pack on his back made him lean forwards in his grav harness. It gave a false sense of earnestness that Sergeant Adrak Vraver didn't feel. He and three more of his battle brothers had hitched a ride on Fire Wyvern, pledging to aid Kadai in his extraction mission. The two went back a long way. Vraver was a veteran of dozens of campaigns. Kadai had served in some of those in his two centuries and more of service.
And I suppose your stubbornness is kindled from the same embers.
There was mirth in the Raven Guard's tone that Kadai couldn't see. Outside, the explosions intensified. The interior shuddered constantly. Metal groaned in abject protest as they rode a storm of ordnance.
Not too late to go back. Our battle brothers are pulling out, Kotan. This city is lost, but the war is won. There's nothing for the Space Marines here. Let the guard flatten it.
Kadai laughed, but it didn't reach his blazing eyes. Perhaps that was true for the Raven Guard. Prosecuting a guerrilla war behind enemy lines, they had crippled communications, sabotaged transport links, and executed several insurgent officers, including the world's corrupt Lord Governor. For Kadai, however, the mission was not yet ended.
Months ago, before undertaking this mission, a neophyte remarked something to me on the Sindara Plateau back on Nocturne. Do you know what he said?
Vraver relaxed his lightning claw in a gesture for Kadai to continue.
My lord, the Promethean Creed tells us that nothing is above the sanctity of human life, that we are Vulcan's shield, here to protect the innocent and defend the weak. But when I awoke in the solitorium, after 7 months of endurance and solitude, I found I had become a monster.
Kadai touched his skin, dragging the eyelid down a fraction to show the red heat within.
How then, he asked me, can we be our Primarch's shield if we look like this?
Firewyvern shook violently from another aerial bombardment, but Vraver and Kadai didn't flinch. From the cockpit, through the internal vox, Brother Hecken relayed that they were closing on their objective.
60 seconds.
What was your answer?
Kadai spread his hands as if it was obvious.
Because we must.
As simple as that. I always admired your frankness, Khotan. You salamanders are such pragmatists, even when your very appearance betrays your ideals.
Fire Wyvern's engines were screaming. The gunship was banking into a sharp dive. Kadai could feel the inertia even through his power armor. Heavy cannon fire boomed through the hull, muffled slightly by the gunship's plating.
30 seconds.
It is because of what we are that we can be Vulcan's shield. Triumph over adversity, self-sacrifice, and the capacity to endure comes from this.
He gestured towards his diabolic features.
By being less human on the outside, we are made more human inside.
Kadai touched his breastplate where a symbolic flame was rendered in gold.
The burning core of our righteousness and the belief in our duty and all the Promethean creed comes from within.
10 seconds. 9,
Kadai donned his helmet. 8, like his armor, 7, it was finely artificed. It depicted 5, a snarling drake head. Its scales 3, echoed in the captain's 2, battleplate. The deployment ramp of Firewyvern opened slowly. Heat and sound rushed in. Having disengaged his grav harness, Kadai mounted the ramp first. Brother Hecken had brought them low. 30 meters down, fire wreathed Echelon City in a crackling veil. The once regal avenues burned. Plazas fluttered with the charred remains of anti-imperial propaganda leaflets. Bodies of loyal citizens and cultists alike littered roads clogged with blood and rubble. One structure remained. Blasted ruins filled with chaos insurgents surrounded it. 3 battalions, over 1,000 troops moved into position. Their heavy gun emplacements had taken a toll on the Scholar's marble walls. Columns were toppled. Statues of prominent alumni were beheaded and defiled. Soon it would be no more. The Space Marines had arrived just in time. A visual feed in Kadai's ornate helm revealed that Navy ordnance would be unleashed from suborbit in less than 6.3 minutes and counting. Only ash would remain afterwards. Hecken drew them closer still. Heavy bolters from the Thunderhawk's wings and forward fuselage raked a cannon battery wheeling around to get a bead. Simple brown flak armor and the hoods of their debased cult availed them nothing. The heretics disappeared in a storm of blood and debris. Kadai unhitched a pair of crack grenades maglocked to his belt. The roof of the Scholar hove into view. It had been damaged and would yield with little force. Kadai cast down the grenades, priming them with a 3-second timer. Vraver loosed 2 more. The detonation was fast and loud. In a cloud of smoke and flame, the Scholar roof collapsed. Several young faces and the older visage of an abbot peered up through the clearing dust at the angels in the war-blackened sky above. Salvation had come.
Tell me, brother.
Vraver was readying to drop, then engage the thrusters of his jump pack.
This precocious neophyte, what is his name?
The salamander briefly met the Raven Guard's gaze. Kadai's eyes flared, his emotion unclear.
Dakir,
he replied, leaping off the ramp and into the Skola below.
Hazon Dakir.